Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
In a recent event down in Branson a few weeks ago, we were given some insight to the current Fire Bible Project in Armenia. I want to relate some of those testimonies and needs to you today directly. These are firsthand accounts gathered by Fire Bible leadership when on their travels to the country of Armenia. This officially Christian nation, if you're missing our Wednesday nights, you're missing some missions prayers where we're getting some information about a nation of the world, and we're praying for them with wisdom and with insight to their situation a little bit. And so we appreciate you being a part of those, and hopefully you're being challenged in your prayer life that way. But a little bit about Armenia. This officially Christian nation was declared so in the year 301 AD. So they were the first nation, literally, to declare themselves to be Christians. And they're just north of the Muslim Middle East. So I don't know if that registers with you or not. You see a map picture there. Armenia is right in the middle of all that. So you got Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, all 90%+ Muslim nations all surrounding right there. And then there's a 90-something percent Christian Armenia. Now we can give that a little more detail by sharing with you it's an Orthodox Church Christianity. So many of those believers do not have a saving faith knowledge of Jesus. Or Christians, excuse me, do not have a saving faith knowledge of Jesus Christ. They've not confessed their sins. They just go to the Christian Orthodox Church sometimes. Kind of like when we ask people in America if they're Christians. Yeah, sure. Well, I'll take two, whatever. So it might not actually mean what you think it means, but the surprising, the shocking element is that the Muslim world has not overtaken this country, but it has been impacted. It's been oppressed, it's been persecuted, surrounded by Islamic nations. It's also been impacted by atheists and communists over the years. And when I say over the years, America is just a few hundred years old, and this country is reliving this newness of nation in the last century. In 1915 or so, somewhere around there, they were declared a nation, but they were taken over by communism. And so communism reigned there until the communist Soviet Union fell apart, and then they've become free again. So this nation of 3 million people is the size of about Maryland or Massachusetts. And there's 3 million people packed into there. And this is a persecuted church. And I want you to understand the persecuted church is real in our day. In 2018, there's realities of that. Millions there in Armenia claim Christianity, but very few live for Christ. The Word of God preserved and translated in our language, as I have a copy sitting right here. We have the Bible in English, in the language that we all know and love and speak, right? The Armenian Word of God is not so reliable. The Orthodox Church and other influences have passed down a poor translation, a bad copy of the Word of God for Armenian believers. An unreliable version with omitted passages and altered text. So figure that as you're going through your Bible, there's things in there that just, well, there's just verses that just aren't there in their Bible. They're just omitted. They're just taken out. They're just removed or left out. Even Armenian translations were poorly done, and they're faulty in their content, their grammar. It doesn't read right. You've read English that's been poorly translated, right? And it doesn't make sense. It's hard to follow. That's a lot of what their version of the Bible is in their home, in their heart language. So these persecuted leaders face unspeakable challenges with these pitiful resources of poor versions of the Bible. I mean, you and I are just like, just go to Mardell's and buy one, right? Just order it online, right? It's not in their language. It's not something that they speak firsthand. And so it's a challenge for us. That'd be like me telling you, go learn Spanish and then get a Santa Biblia. You'd be like, that's going to take a while. Exactly. With those kind of resources, that's very difficult. So imagine trying to defend, I liken this, the scripture that's been changed and altered and edited. I liken it to trying to defend your home with a poodle instead of the Lion of Judah. Right? Taking a portion of the scripture, a faulty version of the scripture, and trying to base your life and everything on it, and it's not what it ever should have been. It's like a poodle instead of the lion of the tribe of Judah. So there's the difference in that version, that emasculated type of version. To this day, Armenia remains the only country in the region that is not primarily Islamic. Sadly, when Islam failed to take over, communism succeeded. I shared that with you about the Soviet Union controlling Armenia for decades, and they launched massive persecution of Christians. The stories of death and torture in prison camps is heartbreaking. Pastor Ivan, I'm going to share some of these stories with you. Pastor Ivan was killed by the KGB. They heated up an iron poker and poked him in the chest 7 times. Each time they told him, "Deny Christ and we'll let you go." And each time he said no. On the 7th time, his chin shaking in pain, Ivan gasped, "Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And then he died. We know the story because some of the guards who were so impressed by Ivan's faith that they shared it with the church. Hamara. Hamara was put in jail for preaching the gospel. They told him, "You can't preach in prison. We know what you'll do when you're in there." And he willingly went to jail but refused to promise not to preach. Many were impacted by the gospel while he was in prison. So as part of his punishment, he was tortured with a welding torch. The burning pain was so intense that he passed out. When he woke up, he was told, "Reject Christ, promise not to preach." And he said no. They burned him again with the welding torch. Again, he passed out. They repeated this until he did not resuscitate. A man by the name of Nechki, a KGB agent, was famous for persecuting Christians, came to Armenia. Nechki was a former Russian pastor who had become an atheist. He had read theology, he had memorized scripture, and killed many Christians. He was brilliant. The church was full of fear because he was arriving to their nation. He was like a modern-day Saul of Tarsus. One afternoon, a man named Raphael's phone rang. The Holy Spirit told him to answer it. It's the KGB. KGB, not KJV, sorry. KGB. It was Nechki. All he said was, "Raphael, do you want us to come and get you, or do you want to come in on your own?" Raphael answered, "I'll come." So he walked out of his house. He told us, "I didn't tell my family because I didn't want them to be upset. I just turned around and said goodbye to my house, and I didn't think I'd ever return." These are not made-up stories, by the way. These are real people's lives. So when Raphael arrived at the government office, they told him to wait in the lobby. He said, "I sat in the lobby and I was very afraid. I decided I needed to encourage myself in the faith and in the Lord. And the Lord gave me a worship song that I sang to myself. And the song said, 'You are mine, don't be afraid. My shelter is on you, go without fear.'" Raphael sang it over and over until they called him in. The room was filled with KGB officers sitting around a U-shaped table. Nechki started by saying, "By the great mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in Siberia." In other words, they're going to banish him to that wasteland. But he said, "You aren't worried, are you? This is just a trial. Your faith needs to go through this." He preached on suffering from the Bible for 10 minutes. And then he laughed out loud in a demonic voice. The hair on Raphael's arms stood up. He yelled, "It's empty words. Soon you'll get Siberia instead of the kingdom of God. Wake up from your religious dream." Nechki began to interrogate Raphael. He quoted verses of scripture and demanded he give him the scripture reference. When Raphael couldn't, Nechki laughed and mocked him. "You're a preacher? I'll help you." Nechki quoted Romans 13 and demanded that Raphael support the Soviets who God had put in charge. Raphael said, I was overwhelmed. I prayed to myself, Lord, he knows the Bible better than me. Help me, Lord. The interrogation went on for hours. Raphael sat and listened to each of the men yell at him, one after the other. At the end of the day, Nitschke said, we'll give you time. You'll write an article in the newspaper where you will say you are wrong and you'll deny Christ. If you do so, you'll save yourself and your family. If not, we will punish you in a bad way. Raphael walked out in shock. He thought he would be killed, but instead he was released. When Raphael got home, he laid down on the floor and wept for a long time. A few days went by, and Raphael heard that Nitschke had been called back to Moscow with no explanation. Even more strange, none of the other KGB officers returned to Raphael's town. It was as if they forgot about him. Raphael learned on the way back to Moscow, Nitschke suddenly and unexplainably died of a heart attack. And Raphael was, in his own words, forgotten and never bothered again. He continued to pastor and led dozens of churches. Communism tried to stop the church, but the church remained. Now, no longer under communist rule, churches in Armenia are beginning to see growth. New churches are being started and the gospel is spreading. While communists didn't stop the church, they did prevent a generation of church leaders from getting Bible training. For the last few years, Armenia has been hit by a massive recession. Jobs are hard to come by. People do not have enough money to buy food, much less support their local churches, and pastors rarely receive any money as salary. The stats that I looked up showed us that in Armenia, the average Armenian will make about $8, while the average American makes $100. So figure the average American, when you get $100, an average Armenian is getting about $8 to live on of that $100. I want to introduce you to Armin. Armin and his family had nothing to eat for several days. Armin got hay from a barn and boiled it for his family to eat. He found a small jar of jam and spread the jam on the boiled hay and served it to his children. It was too hard to chew, so they sucked on the hay. His wife's mother was a baker, but she wouldn't give them food because they were Christian pastors. As a last resort, Armin sent his children to beg their grandmother for bread. She said, I'll give you food this one time only. The next time the kids went over there, there was a large padlock on the door. The kids' grandmother told him it was to keep them out of her kitchen. Armin is the kind of pastor who needs our help. Persecution is still a reality for our pastor. During a recent persecution of believers, Pentecostals were ridiculed on television. A very wealthy man wanted to make fun of Pentecostals on national TV, so he paid for a television campaign to show how stupid and how foolish Pentecostals are. This was far from the truth because many in the Pentecostal church are very well educated. In fact, David, the next person I'll share with you, Pastor David, had just returned from Moscow University where he studied engineering in addition to taking PhD classes in philosophy. The rich man said, let's show how uneducated the Pentecostals are through a debate. So he issued an invitation to national television for a live debate on religion. The church picked David to represent them. Thousands tuned in to watch the debate between Pentecostals and the atheists. David, through his learning and power of the Holy Spirit, answered every question powerfully. Over the course of the broadcast, he repeatedly defeated the other side, and the crowd in the studio and watching on television began to swing to his side. The rich man was furious. At one point, he ran down to the control room and demanded the station turn off the show mid-broadcast, but they wouldn't do it. The plan had backfired, and we started out as an attack, turned into a huge opportunity, and thousands of people watched and the church received a lot of interest. People heard the gospel on live television, and it was paid for by an atheist persecutor of the church. God works in spite of opposition and obstacles. He's growing and building his church in Armenia. While leaders were in Armenia, they asked every group as they went through the nation, through meeting with these church leaders, what is needed most in the Armenian church? And one answer came back every time. We need a Bible translated in our language. Armenian Christians have a Bible, but like I said, it's an old translation done by people who didn't live in Armenia. The dialect is different. It has grammatical errors. It's difficult to read. It's in their language, but it's just not. Armenians need a Bible they can read and understand. They need a Bible in their own language that's clear and with Pentecostal instructions and doctrines explained. Imagine not having resources. Imagine not having tools that you can reach out to and understand. In most instances, the Fire Bible buys a Bible text from or already translated in the language that they are putting the Pentecostal study references in as well. This is a Fire Bible. It's a student edition, but there are different headings throughout it. You see there's the text at the top, and then there's study helps at the bottom, explaining and giving reference information all throughout the Word. It's a one-volume commentary, so to speak, and I've used this for years. I got it for free. And these pastors wish they had something like that, but they just don't have it. And it's not even in their language. I wouldn't do very well with a Spanish one or even an Armenian one for that, but it doesn't even exist. So the Fire Bible typically buys the Bible text and then they translate their resources. In this situation, the Bible Alliance agreed not to only provide the Fire Bible notes in Armenian, but also to give them a full Bible translated in their language. It's a much bigger project, a more massive situation that's undertaken. But it's well worth it for the men and women who are willing to lay down their lives for this precious gospel. Wouldn't you say amen? We get very used to our options and our comfort. In our society, all the efforts are to make us all get along. So we are instructed and we are trained in our culture to simply agree to disagree. You think it's that way, I think it's this way. And then we say, I can think whatever I want. It's a free country, right? And so we agree to disagree and I hold my beliefs and you hold yours, and that's not necessarily the case around the world. As you see families getting starved out by their family members because they see God differently because of their stance on the gospel and their passion to preach it. Man, makes me feel like I got my junior pastor's card. You know? They're suffering. They're going without. And for a text they don't even fully possess, for information that they don't even fully grasp or understand and communicate very well, they're laying their lives down. Unfortunately, it's not a matter of what you think or believe. Like in our society, you believe what you want, I'll believe what I want. We recognize and we understand, and so does the Armenian church, that eternity is not based upon what you believe. I guess it is, Pastor. No. Well, no, it's not. It's actually based on the truth of God Almighty. It's based on the truth of the Word of God. It's based on the fact of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done. And what you and I believe about it is up to us. That doesn't become the standard. You see the difference there? You can not believe this all you want, and it is still true. That's why we do missions. That's why we go around the world. That's why we do Faith Promise. That's why we do Fire Bible Offering Projects. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's what Jesus told us to do. That's the move the light marching orders that we have. In light of that, doesn't it seem imperative? Doesn't it seem mission critical to the Armenian church and the Armenian believers and pastors to at least have good access to a copy of that? If a church is supposed to be mobilized in Armenia, wouldn't it just be awesome for them to be able to understand who God is and what He's done? To give them that information, to give them that opportunity in the first place. It's overwhelming. It's powerful to consider that they don't have that. They can't get that. To at least have had a chance to hear and respond to this actual good news. Instead of muddying along and tradition, the Orthodox Church in Armenia is heavily tradition-based and burdened with that. It's more about the tradition than it is about the God that it's supposedly serving. So they're serving their text, their Bible that they have is some kind of a edited and powerless distortion, some castrated version of the gospel, if you want to call it that. We want to give them the full gospel, the power and authority that Jesus Christ brings. So that's our goal in this project, targeting a goal of $2,500 towards this project. It's simply five gifts of $500. That goes quick, right? 10 gifts of 250, 50-50s, 2,500s, whatever. You do the math. We who have resources give to those who don't. That's the church in action. That's the New Testament church. That's the Book of Acts church that we see, where the believers gave to those who did not have. We have plenty. I didn't do a count, but I probably got 15 Bibles in my office that are mine, not just church stuff stacked in there, right? We've all got a few copies laying around. And praise God, I'm not guilt tripping. That's not the goal. We're not trying to guilt trip today. That's not it at all. But it's important that we recognize how favored, how blessed, how God has blessed us with information and opportunity and resource. And then what the church does is we say, you should have this too. You should have this too. It's just today our arms are stretching all the way to a nation that doesn't even have it in their language. And we get to help translate that. We get to help bring that to them. I cannot translate to Armenian. Anybody else in here? I cannot. Even though their language is ancient, old, they've got their own alphabet and all that stuff. It's amazing, but it's different. So this project and your response today rests entirely on your faith in God and His Word. And you say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, here's what I'm saying. And please don't think this is a strong-arm tactic. It's not. I'm just stating the case. Do we believe that God, what God claims in this book, this 3,500-year-old collection of anointed facts about who He is and how He deals with people? If we believe that, we have to respond. Do we understand the eternal stakes that the book outlines for the saved, for the lost? Then our question is, what can we do? How can we respond? First of all, in the room today, everybody in America is not saved. I dare say everybody in this church today is not right with Jesus. And so we stop and we say, this powerful gospel changes lives here and now, not just then and there. And so I want to give you a chance to respond today. Rick, if you'd help me out. This gospel is salvation in Jesus Christ. It's real. It's true right here in this room for those who are away from God. We've all sinned. We've all separated ourselves from His glory. We need salvation, forgiveness, new life. If we confess our sin, if we make Jesus the center and Lord of our life, the Bible says we will be saved. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just so that those who want to respond have a private moment to do so. But if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I have not received forgiveness of my sins, but I need to today. I haven't started that, but today is the day. This is the moment. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to turn things over to Him. I need a fresh start in Him. I need forgiveness of my sins. Today, this is my moment. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus today for the first time, would you raise your hand today and just make eye contact with me so I can pray with you? Anybody here? Anybody in the building? This gospel is real. It is live. It is truth. Anybody in the building? Lord God, I thank you for this gospel. I thank you for the truth of your word that has been shared with us and preserved for us. Its power, its authority is unmatched. On the written page, God, it reveals who you are and how you deal with your creation. And God, we give you praise and we thank you for the opportunity to know you through your word. And not just through the word, not just as a book, a secondhand story, but God, your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It is alive. As we read it, we commune with you, the author. As we process it and understand it, we get to know you in reality. God, thank you for your word. We don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. We don't worship the word. We worship the God of the word. We worship Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. Because you simply want to be right with your people. You want us to be right with you. You've made a way where there was no way on our own, and we give you all the glory. Those of us who are found. And God, today our heart is drawn and turned, our attention is turned towards the lost. Because there are millions and billions who are lost. They don't know you. They don't experience your word. They haven't read it. They haven't looked into it. Maybe they have and they've turned away. God, whatever the story is, you know the stories of hearts of men around the world and women around the world and kids around the world. Both young and old, people have turned into their sin. They've gone away from you, God. They don't know you. Many of them are clueless of how to connect with you. And God, our heart goes out to them today. Because your kingdom has room for them. God, help us to move the light. Help us to take the light with us everywhere we go, while we're at work, while we're in transit, while we are shopping, while we are on our own time, on the weekend, with family, whatever we find ourselves doing, let it be for your glory. If we find ourselves in a dark room, it won't be dark for long because we bring the light. Your kingdom comes through us. Your will is through us. God, open our hearts to what really needs to be discussed, to what really needs to matter, what really is at place here, at stake here. Mobilize your church, your kingdom advancing through us, Father. Today, specifically for the church in Armenia, for the pastors in Armenia, God, our heart goes out to them and their need, not their want list, not their wish list, not their bucket list, their need list. Help us to respond today, God. Speak to our hearts. We can literally do something about it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.